Amen and amen. Y'all may be seated. If y'all would, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. I want to start there. We're going back into the book of Daniel, and we'll go in chapter 6. I've got it written up there, too. And like last week, if you wasn't here, you can get the podcast. I think it's uploaded, maybe. And we talked about Daniel as he was interpreting a dream and how the Father uses us a lot of times to be ambassadors and to be his representative, to show himself mighty in this earth. And we saw where he used Daniel under Nebuchadnezzar, and he went through, and if you know the story as we talked about, it's not to where you're going to interpret a dream, you're going to interpret the vision. You're going to interpret what I dreamt. You know, so he did that. We see what happened, and we saw where a king fell prostrate in front of him, and we see where he made an edict to where all the people would recognize and realize that Daniel's Elohim is Elohim. So now we're going to pick up in Daniel in just a moment to where now he's under another king. It's under King Darius. So we talked about last week, here we go again. That was the name of that one. Under this one is because when we get into the Daniel in the lion's den situation, I want to pick up on something where it's right here. Our decisions usually affect others also. Our decisions, and that's why it played really beautiful of what you brought, and I really appreciate you coming up and sharing that, because our decisions, most of us just wish that if I make a bonehead decision, I'm the only one affected. But guys, it usually doesn't happen that way. Adam and Eve made a wrong decision. Who did it affect? All of mankind. Achan made a wrong decision. He took something and he was told, because Jericho was the first fruits. Jericho was the first place that the children of Israel took when they came out of the wilderness. So Jericho, that's why Yahweh said, Jericho's mine and everything in it's mine. That's the very first. This is principles of first fruit. It's all through the scripture. That's why he told them, because he usually let them take the plunder. He would always let them take the plunder. But here he said, no, this is the first city. This is mine. You're not to take anything. Achan took something, and it cost 36 lives because of that sin. So what I'm saying is guys, whenever we make decisions, we need to really realize, is it going to just affect us, or will it affect others also? But see, a lot of times we start down here at the decisions. Where is our thoughts? This is where everything starts, and this is why I want to start in Colossians. Because our thoughts affect our emotions, and our emotions affect our decisions. This is where everything, and this is why in Romans 12:2 he says, renew your mind. Why? Because he knew we had stinking thinking. He understood that our heart's been regenerated, our mind needs to be renewed to what? This word. It wasn't in this word. You read this word, you read it, you meditate on it. So let's pick up in Colossians, and then we'll go to Daniel. He says, if then you have been raised with Messiah, seek things that are what? That are above where Messiah is, seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your what? Set your minds on things that are above and not on the things of the earth. The problem with most, the church world as a whole, this is our problem. Really, we still have too much earthly thinking. Our minds are really not set every day predominantly on things above. They're set on the things of the earth. They're set on the things of pleasure. They're set on the things that are happening around us. That's what he's saying. He says, they don't need to be set on these things. We belong to Messiah now. Messiah is sitting in the heavens. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We need to be thinking on kingdom things, not on earthly things. It says, for you have died, and your life is hidden in Messiah and Elohim. When Messiah, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. It says, put to death. What are we to put to death? We need to put to death, number one, bad thoughts. That's why it talks about, let me just use the example. It's one thing when somebody tries to do what they need to do, or they feel like they want to do or whatever to prevent through a child being born. But when a child, and then you're pregnant, This needs to change. This needs to change now because it don't just affect you anymore. It affects because what goes in that body, I believe this. I believe that a child is being born is there, heartbeat. I believe at conception there's a child and all of that. And I mean, as that child is nurtured, I believe singing to the child, I believe reading to the child, I believe being in Candace, you know, read and sing and do what you do. Pray and let that word goes in. I believe that. It goes in. We're talking a spiritual situation. It happens. It can transform us. Because he's telling us in here that we're dealing with mind issues. We're dealing with what are we putting? It says set our minds on things above. But it says put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Now, he's not talking to non-believers here. He's talking to believers. This is a letter written to the congregation at Colossus. He's saying put to death. If there wasn't any issues going on here, he wouldn't have wrote this letter. Amen? So he's writing this letter because evidently there's some problems here. And he says put to death, therefore, what is therefore earthly in you, sexual immoralities, impurities, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. He's saying every one of these things are idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of Elohim is coming. Do you know that whenever he returns, that's what he's saying. On account of these things, there's a judgment day and there's going to be a reckoning. And in these two, you once walked. In other words, you did walk that way once when you were living in them. But you're not supposed to be that way today. But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeking that you have put off the old self with its practices and what? And have put on the new self. That's Romans 12, renewing your mind. Putting on that new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6. We'll pick up in verse 1. So as you're going to Daniel chapter 6, so we're seeing that we are a new creation. We're seeing that as that song was ringing out, the kingdom, guys, the kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We have authorities. He gave Adam authority to be able to rule and reign in this earth. He's given us that authority to rule and reign, but in proper order according to his word. He didn't give us authority to just go out and make a show to where we can get accolades for it. He's not sharing his glory with anybody. But whenever he has given us dominion and power, it's just that I think we don't really know how to operate in it. Amen. We just don't know fully what we're combating sometimes. But his word tells us how to operate in it. Yeshua flowed with healings and miracles. But do you know what? A lot of the apostles, they flowed with that also. But yet I still see that some of their apostles, like whenever they came up against the sons of Sceva, remember that demonic, when they said, why couldn't we do this? And he said, Yeshua, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? You know, and because Yeshua said it in his ministry. Some of these things, he said, why couldn't we do this? Some comes by what? Fasting and prayer. People don't like to fast. So you know what? Just give me the little projects so I can still eat. You know, some things come with fasting and with prayer. And so I will open it up to us. When is the last time we fasted? Most everybody will say Yom Kippur. But have we fasted since then? Well, some things come out with fasting and prayer. So for those who do, and it's usually about 1%, you know, and I'm just, am I wrong? I'm just, y'all can nod, but I'm not condemning. I'm the same way. But I'm just saying, fasting and prayer, how far do we get down into situations to where we really want to battle for people, but then you know what? We have to give up. There's things that we have to do in the fasting and prayer part of our life. So fasting's not a fun thing to do. And if you ever notice that whenever you feel led to fast, all of a sudden you get invited to places where there's lots of food. Have you ever noticed that? So the Father just is going to let you know, you pick the day and he'll pick the party that's going to show up. Oh, man, because you're gonna have to go through this. This is about putting your flesh under. I mean, it's easy to fast when nobody's inviting you to eat. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to fast when there's no buffet going on. And when all the shelves at Walmart are empty, it's easy to fast on those days. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "And it pleased Darius." Now, this is Daniel. Now, we all know about Daniel, and Daniel is a pretty special individual. "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princesses to be throughout the whole kingdom. And over them, and over all of these 120, he's going to set three of them as high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these princes should give account so that the king might suffer," what? "No loss." That sort of sounds like the parable of the talents, doesn't it? He give five, he give some two, he give one. And it, right here, I mean, this ties right into that parable. Because he set these three and these 120 over all that he had, that they would give account to the king, that the king would suffer no loss. So that's what's happening here. "Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and princesses because of" what? "An excellent spirit was within him." This excellent spirit within him is not only his excellent spirit, but it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Ruach itself who's ruling and reigning and flowing in Daniel's life. And Daniel did whatever he needed to do to keep the spirit flowing in his life. And because of this, this excellent spirit, no doubt, was evident to the king. He stood out. It's just something about it. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So noticing that Daniel had an excellent spirit in him, he's saying, you know what? I'm going to set 120, and then out of the 120, I'm going to set three. But out of the three, I'm going to set one. And Daniel, you're the one. Because you have this excellent spirit. There's something about you that radiates that I trust you. But do you know what? Daniel hadn't been proven to Darius yet. He can go off of hearsay of what happened before. But now, this is not in Babylon now. This is Medo-Persian. So they're not under Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon now. They're under another kingdom. They're under the Medo-Persian Empire here. Babylon has been conquered. They're no longer. So then the high officials and the princes were really excited about Daniel's new promotion. No. They sought to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. That's interesting. Verse 5, "Then these men said, 'We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel.'" And here's the thing that is so important that we understand. "Unless we find it in connection with the law of his Elohim." In other words, we and the Torah are one. We and the Torah are one. So what he's saying is the only way to get to we is to find a way for us to force us to either violate the Torah or either stand by the Torah and get hung either way. Either let Darius hang us or let Yahweh hang us. They're setting a trap here, and this is what they're saying, but the Father, he wants to know, are we in the Torah one? And do you know where that starts? Right here. Because if you're not one here, you won't be one here. Because if you're not, if your mind, and we said this 100 times this year, if our mind is not made up, if our mind is wavering and we're tossed to and fro, because guess what? This is a bad place to live in the area of your emotions, because your emotions will always cause you to make the wrong decision. If your mind is made up, you can say, mind is made up. Your emotions are strong. Your decisions will be strong. You won't hesitate whenever that comes. And you're going to see with Daniel when the decree is made, Daniel says, oh well. And he goes up the room and prays. So what I'm saying is by his mind being made up, we can go to the story of Esther. Mordecai says, Esther, this is what you need to do. She says, but her mind wasn't fully made up. Because she says, but if I go to the king unannounced, off with my head. See, mind not made up. She was having an emotional breakdown. But what happened was, is Mordecai's mind is made up, and he said, understand this. If you don't do it, don't think you won't be found out. Because the very thing that's going to happen to us will happen to you. So that statement helped her thought process a little bit. Amen, Arnold? That thought process, sometimes we need a good word to help our thought process. Because in this, Kent, I'm the queen, and he don't know that I'm a Jew. But will that remain a secret? That battle's in here. And you have to realize, well, hey, she could sit here and say, well, you know what, Mordecai? You told me not to tell nobody. And I'm still not going to tell nobody. She could have done that. But do you know what happened? She went through fasting and prayer to get her thoughts lined up so that she could make the proper decision. And sometimes in our life, we may have to have some fasting and prayer in our life if we're wavering in the thought process. When you know the Word says to do something, the Ten Commandments are not multiple choice. And they are not 10 suggestions, they're 10 commandments. And there's commandments all through there. If we're having a breakdown with one of the commandments, we need to go back here because this is why we're having the breakdown. Our thought pattern's not right. Amen? Because once you get this right, you're settled here. But if this is not right, do you know the church as a whole live in an emotional breakdown? Because they don't understand that the 2/3 of the scripture is still valuable. Amen. How can your thoughts and everything, when the moment you hear something, Terry, the moment you hear something, and if I tell you something about something, you have to make a decision. You sit here and what do? You start thinking about it. Now you can think about it, you can give an answer, and sometimes you'll say, you know what, I might need to pray about this. And there may be some praying. Now, if it's a hard thing, there may be fasting and praying about it. It just depends on the question and what you're asked. Sometimes it's an easy deal. I say, Terry, I said, you know what? I think it's a good day. Tomorrow is Sunday. Most people are gone. Let's go rob a bank. Okay, now we're going to do that. See, there's no way. His mind's already made up. I'm not going to do that. See, the thought process is already there. No way, Jose. It ain't going to happen. Sometimes if you ask something that may benefit somebody and it can be borderline or marginal, your wheels and your cogs start turning. But Daniel had an excellent spirit in him. That's the key. Do we have an excellent spirit in us? If we have that excellent spirit in us, we won't hesitate. But if we hesitate, then we, as ourselves, this is looking at ourselves, if we hesitate here, we need to find out, where is my spirit? Where is my spirit in the Holy Spirit? Where are we at concerning this word and really being sold out to this? Amen? Because Daniel doesn't know. He's fixing to know. Let's just keep reading. So they set out, and that's why I wanted to tell you, that's why in Daniel 7:25, that's I put it all in a nutshell there. That's why Satan wanted to change times and law. That's why Alexander the Great changed times and law. That's why Antiochus Epiphanes changed times and law. What he was doing, you can't do the Torah. You can't do these things. It's on and on and on through Scripture. Because it says the only way that we're going to get him is we've got to find a way for him to try to violate the law of his Elohim. That's the only thing that's going to get him. Okay, let's see what the guys did in verse 6. Now, we used the term last week, buttercups. And so here we go again. And the reason why I say buttercups, because they're buttering up the king. Then these high officials and princes came by agreement. They were all of it. They are all in it together, guys. They're all in it together to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever, you old handsome devil. No, not handsome devil. He'd have to be handsome something else. All the high officials, listen, all the high officials, they lied right there. They said all the high officials. They ain't considering Daniel. They knew what they were doing. They're lying through their false teeth. All the high officials of the kingdom, prefects, princesses, counselors, and governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any Elohim or man for 30 days except to you, O king, and shall not have Krispy Kreme for a month. Now, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, is that sort of like extreme? Now, here we're going to do this, king. All of us agree. That's including, they're saying Daniel was in agreement here. Because they said, we all got together and we all agreed to honor you. And we're only going to bow to you and we're only going to worship you for 30 days. We're only going to look up to you. I mean, they're buttering him up. Darius is probably like, you know, it might not be a bad idea. I mean, I appreciate the people knowing what I've done for them. I appreciate all the people to know who's boss. I appreciate that they know that I try to do my best to help everybody out. And it would really be good for everybody in all the providences to be able to bow down and worship me. It ain't going to hurt. It's just 30 days. You know, you can see how they buttered him up. But then they turn around and they put this clause in there. But Darius, if somebody fails to do that, we'll feed him to the lions. Now think about that. Now, Darius, being a king, should have said, I smell a big rat here. Because why in the world would you want to feed somebody to lions and destroy them? But pride will blind. See, they buttered him up first. And they sort of like slid in the lion detail. Okay? Because sure, the king is saying there's nobody going to get fed to the lions because everybody's going to bow. Because do you know that everybody likes me? There's nobody on this earth that's never liked me before. And that's the way sometimes we can think that I can't understand why anybody would never like me. And I could just see him. So you know what? This lion clause is not going to be fulfilled anyway. So let's see what happens. And you know what is so funny? These leaders, they don't even know that Yahweh's using them to prove something to Darius. He can use their wickedness to turn around and expose not only to them, but to prove to Darius who is the Elohim. Remember, our decisions usually affect others also. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed. So that it cannot be changed. According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. So, king, you're going to write this up. Now, evidently, we wrote this thing up. We wrote this thing up to where it can't be changed and it can't be revoked. They're covering all the bases here. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and the injunction. Verse 10, when Daniel knew about the document that had been signed, because he was supposed to be in the hall and he wasn't, he went to his house where he had windows in the upper chambers open towards Jerusalem. A lot of people want to know why we always pray and we go towards Jerusalem. It says, he got down on his knees three times a day, and he just started this. No, this is what he has done his whole life with Nebuchadnezzar. This is who he is. He got down on his knees three times a day, prayed and gave thanks before his Elohim, gave thanks to Yahweh, as he had done previously. He's always prayed for Yahweh's wisdom. And this just didn't start. He was raised that way. He's been doing that through all these different kings, even up until now. This is why he had an excellent spirit within him. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petitions and plead before Elohim. Then they came near and said before the king, concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, This thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Well, look what they said in verse 13. Then they answered and they said before the king, Now, king, I'm taking a little liberty here. Now, king, even though it breaks our heart, we must do our duty concerning your laws. Daniel, now I inserted that part, but that's really the way they come with this false humility. Oh, king, I mean, you made a law. We all agreed. How'd they do that? We all agreed, you know, except for one. Daniel, whom is one of your exiles from Judah, in other words, he's not really a Medo-Persian anyway, he's really a second-class citizen, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction that you have signed that makes the petitions three times a day. Look what happened to the king. If the king would have had his mind right, if he would have had any discernment instead of just listening, and if he would have questioned properly, and if he would have said, you know what? I've got one person that I set over all the kingdom. Why isn't he here? Why isn't Daniel here? I got 120, and I got three, and then I got one over the two. But yet, y'all come in here bringing your apple fritters, and y'all got us going good and a good big old glass of milk, and then we're having a good time here. Buttercups, and then, but where's Daniel? Never, but that's the Father's doings. That's the Father's doings. The Father is going to expose the rats at Chuck E. Cheese. That's what he's going to do. He's going to expose that because he's got to get rid of that. And you know what? That's going to do Darius a favor. Because how can Darius in a kingdom have one man doing what is right and everybody else is? Because how many times did you read the word agreement and they were all in agreement? They were all in agreement. Agreement's going to get them in trouble. Verse 14. Then the king, when he had heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till sun went down to rescue him. Do you know what he did? The king went in CPA mode. I'm trying to find a loophole. Is there a loophole? He was so distressed, he knew by his own words and proclamation that this law stood. But now he's going for counsel. And I guarantee you he's got all of the, not the 120, he's got these other ones. And he's trying to find a loophole to get around Daniel having to go into the lion's den. And it said that he was distressed and he fought his way till the sun went down to find if there was a loophole. That's what he's saying. He labored until the sun went down to rescue him. Verse 15, then these men came by agreement again to the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and the Persians. My, they just really throwing that up, ain't they? They don't worry about Yahweh's law, but they'll sure use the law that they like. That no injunction or ordinance that the king established can be changed, even though it breaks our heart that you got to do this. Verse 16, then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your Elohim, this is the reason why I prayed that boy, Davis. If he can shut the mouths of lions, he can heal deafness. He can heal. We've seen it. He can deliver. Yahweh controls. I know things, and we go through the even if, and I understand, but you know what? He's still in control. He's still on that throne, and he knows what's happening. The king commanded, Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your Elohim, whom you serve, how often? Continually deliver you. You know, that continually is sort of important. That continually is sort of important. A lot of times, we get so busy, we're not in the continual mode with the Father. And then all of a sudden, we're faced with something, and then we get in the frantic mode. And so what the Father is teaching us also through this is Daniel continually, look, you think Daniel was sort of probably a little busy running the whole world? If he's sort of like put in charge under the king, he's like in charge. Everybody's coming to him and he goes to the king. He's like Joseph was in a situation. They're sort of busy. They sort of have Moses sort of busy, wearing himself out. But yet, Daniel had time to continually, we do the Via Hafta. When we do the Via Hafta, how do we teach our children? That's right. When you sit down, when you rise up, when you fall over, when you get up, it continually is what he's trying to say here. He covers all the bases because he knows how we are. We're people of loopholes. We will try to find a loophole if we can get out of it. But Daniel was a man, and Darius knew this. He said, may your Elohim, who you serve continually, deliver you. Verse 17. Then a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel, even though it broke their hearts. Then the king went to his palace, and he spent the night doing what? Fasting. He sort of got the fasting on the other end. So do you know what it shows me here? It shows me here that fasting and prayer here can cause you to make a right decision. But do you know the beautiful thing about this story? Even when we make a wrong decision, fasting and prayer may change something before it gets to here. Because the king said, you know what? I should have fasted and prayed. I should have got wise counsel, and I didn't. Now I've got him in there. He's already put Daniel in there. He didn't fast and pray before he put him in there. He got him in there. Now he's in there with the lions. He's in there with them big cats. And now he's fasting and praying. But that shows me, guys, if we goof, we can still fast and pray. And he can bring us out on the other side if we get blindsided. Darius was blindsided. Darius had no heart to harm Daniel. These other people did. And Father knew that. And so when Father knows that, if the Father knows that you've been blindsided, and you've been blindsided, fast and pray. And you know what? He may fix. They may have to go, or we may have to go through the fire or through the lion's den. But at least we can come out of it unscathed. Amen? So it shows me such great hope here. And it says, no diversions were brought to him. In other words, nobody's reading to him. Nobody's messing with him. He is fasting and he's praying is what he's doing. And the sleep fled from him that night. Verse 19, then at daybreak, the king rose and in haste went to the den of lions. And as he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared, O Daniel, servant of the living Elohim, has your Elohim, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? And Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. Listen to what he says here. My Elohim sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because, look what he says first, because I was found blameless before him. He didn't say I was found first blameless before you. First, I was found blameless before him. That's where we have to find, are we blameless before the Father before we worry about this? Are we blameless here? Because this is what's going to count. Because one day there's going to be a scroll and there's going to be a book opened. Amen? There's going to be a book opened. Are we blameless before him? Darius is seeing, Darius is acknowledging the God, the Elohim, the one that you serve continually. Has he been able to save you? And he says, yes, because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded Daniel to be taken out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no harm was found to him because he had trusted in his Elohim. And guys, sometimes we may have to go through the lion's den. And we have not done anything wrong. Daniel never did anything wrong. He was found favor. He had an excellent spirit. Continual worship. But guess what? In this situation, he was the one that had to go to the den of lions for somebody else. And it says, because he had trusted in Elohim. That's the thing. We have to trust that the Father has got this. Then the king commanded, And those men who had maliciously accused Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. Now let me ask you this question. Who was cast into the den of lions? Them, their children, and their wives. Our decisions usually affect others. These men who came together, they wasn't the only one that got thrown into the den of lions. It affected their children, and it affected their wives. So know that in this life, sometimes fathers, husbands, our decisions don't affect just us. It affects our wives and our children. And we have to be continually knowing, have that excellent spirit, have that spirit of Daniel, and if sometimes we goof, let's fast and pray on the other side. That we will be delivered out of not having to go through this. And hopefully, we can pray for what I call crop failure sometimes. Sometimes if you sow a bad seed, guys, that dude's popping up out of the ground. You sow a good seed's coming up. You sow a bad seed, it's coming up. But our Father, we can pray for crop failure. And he can put some spiritual Roundup on that bad seed, and he can kill that thing when it pops up out of the ground. But I'm just telling you, the scripture is true, and it says we will reap what we sow. And if we sow bad seed, we're going to reap bad seed. But if we repent, we see even here in the story, if we repent, fasting and praying and repenting, that can bring a spiritual roundup in our life that it could destroy the very things that we, that's a merciful Elohim that we serve. That we don't have to suffer consequences. We don't have to suffer. Davis doesn't have to suffer the consequence of being deaf. Because through repentance and through prayer and for people, you know what? The Father run that evil spirit out of there in Yeshua's name. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's how beautiful this thing is and this story is. I'm going to be finishing up with this. So it said, and before they even reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke their bones into pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all of the earth, peace be multiplied to you. And this is the end result. The end result is this proclamation. Because do you know that when the Medo-Persians took over, they were no longer under the creed or the law of the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar. That law was over with. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar made the creed that everybody would serve Daniel's Elohim. But that's sort of out the window now. So we sort of like need a new proclamation going on. Yahweh knows what he's doing. He knows how to protect his people in exile. if we're in exile until we get to the place to where Yeshua is ruling and reigning, we're ruling and reigning, we're in exile right now. But while we're in exile, he makes it for those who continually seek him. He makes a way for us to serve him and to serve him the way he desires to be served. And Darius says this in the next three verses, and I'll finish with this. I make a decree that in all of my royal dominion, people, that means everybody, are to tremble and fear before the Elohim of Daniel. Now, I don't know his name, but Daniel knows his name, and we're going to fear this one. Yod, hey, vav, hey, we're going to fear. For he is a living Elohim, enduring forever. Sound like the king got saved, don't it? His kingdom shall never be destroyed. His dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. And so this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus, the Persians. He even went all the way through another king. And he was prosperous because guess what? Obedience brings prosperity. Not us blabbing and grabbing it, but obedience brings prosperity. It brings favor. And you know what? And even if we have to go through the situation of the lions, he will send forth angels if he has to shut the mouths of the lions. So guys, we really have nothing to fear except fear itself. But I want to close with this right here. This is where I want us to be in these next few weeks. Let's do an examination of our thoughts. Where are our thoughts? Because if we have some crazy things going on here, I promise you the answer's right here. And where is that answer? That answer's right here. Are we met? What did Joshua say? For me and my house, we will serve. That's right. And he says that we're going to meditate on this word, what? Day and night. This is what we need to do. If we will do this, this will be taken care of. This will be blessed. But also understand this. This could also happen in the positive. Because you know what? Our lives here, just like the testimony you gave of your granddaughter, was affecting other people. So our decisions, even in the positive, will help affect other people's lives in the positive, not only just the negative. Amen?
So I had something that happened at work just this past week that so fits what he's talking about. I'll go ahead and stand up. Had a guy that I work with, he came up to me, he's a little bit younger than I am, and I knew he says he's going through a divorce, like it's not finalized or anything, and he keeps like sharing all of his life with me, and I try to counsel him, but he doesn't hear it, he just keeps talking. So he's got like a different girl that he's with, and he's got all these problems going on, and I'm trying to counsel him. Well, he comes in, and he's just real sad, and obviously really emotional, and I'm like, dude, what's going on? He's just sitting there, and then finally he breaks down and starts crying. He says, my kids want nothing to do with me. They said they don't want anything to do with me. I'm moving to North Alabama. I'm out of here. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is heavy. So he's sitting there, he's just kind of crying. Then the foreman walks over and he's like, if you're on the clock, get to work. And he just gets up and he's crying in front of the foreman. He just throws his stuff, and the foreman's like, you take a time out, you know, go out to the shop. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is a train wreck. And but before it, that same day I was talking to the foreman, and he's like, well, yeah, you know, you might hate your wife, but you know, when those kids say they don't want anything to have with you, that'll make you cry. And he's been divorced. And so I was like, oh my gosh, this same train wreck has happened to him. And there was another guy there, and he's like, and of course he's like, he's trying to be tough. He's like, you know, I can't believe you cried. You know, I've been divorced 3 times and I've had kids cry. And, you know, I can't, you know, you have to get over that. And it was just so, so cold. And it just showed me, it's like these men have been traumatized by their sins. And their faces were hard as flint, you know. So what happens is something small gets in your thoughts. Your thoughts are, whether it's substance abuse or whether it's just an improper view of how men and women get along, it affects your thoughts. gets in your emotions, it affects your decisions, and then they reap the harvest later. They're all these women and children are just a burning wreck behind them, and here they are trying to get on with their lives with very little to live for, and it's tragic, and it made me so angry. And it was making me more angry to hear his story, just telling me about, because he's so proud of himself with all the things he's doing. And it just made me angry, because it's like I knew this was the sin and I knew where it was leading. And now this fits so well, I thought, what you're saying.
Well, here's the thing, too, with that story. I can tell you that I had a story just like that, and I won't tell you all about it, because I did mention it a long time ago. There was an opportunity one time I had a chance to minister to somebody that was really hard. But like I told him, and it just came out of my mouth, the Father ain't worried about restoring your marriage. He wants to know, what are you going to do? And I was like, I was trying to put them words back in my mouth. I said, I can't believe this just came out there, because I just throw me in Yahweh right on out there, saying that trust in him, he's going to fix it. You know, and he's going to fix it this week. The long and the short of it was that the wife did not say, she said, you can come home, there's something changed in you, something's happened. So she had his bags packed. In other words, after 7 days, when we come in from offshore, you're gone. But they both got saved, she got saved, the kids got saved, and this guy used to sit in there and watch the Saints play with his eight-year-old boy smoking a joint. That's how, I mean, they were hard. That's like what he was saying, they're just very hard people. But the Father can melt that. The Father can get in and do a miracle, and I've seen that miracle because he came over and went to church with us at Life Church a couple of times. And I know that miracles happen and things can change, but it is, look, guys, and he's right. Thought patterns, marriages, and it affects a lot of people. And it don't just affect one. It can affect in-laws. It affects all kinds.
Okay, I was just talking to my kids this week about that. How what we think affects your emotion, and especially when you watch TV and kids show, but then I get upset because you see this women running the household and the man always being the dumb guy, or the kids just being, so it does affect, so the people see this, that's what they think it is. So the emotions then dictate all things that you decide. So it's not, and so the world is actually like that. It's all in emotional states because they really don't have a something that guides them, that is Yahweh or his word. So it's everything is emotional unless you really are connected to Yahweh. And then even if you're emotional, you snap out of it. And then you try to make the right decision. I always tell my kids, and I try to tell that to myself, when I'm very happy, don't do a decision. When you're very sad, don't do any decisions. Just when you're in a state of shalom that only Yahweh can give you,
that's right.
Then you make a good, the right decision.
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen. Amen. Well, what she's saying is you got to have a moral compass, and people don't have that moral compass. They go off in any direction, and that's the problem. And right here, this will show you which way is north, south, east, and west. All you got to do is trust it to do that. And when people don't, that's what I was saying. They make decisions off of their emotions, but the problem is just like you were talking about TV or whatever, what is feeding our minds? Whatever's feeding your mind is what decision you're going to make. That's the way it's going to be. That's why a lot of times we get in a situation to where we start judging the severity of sin. I don't care if you're watching Hallmark. The thing about it is on a commercial, they're going to sell clothes that don't belong to guys. Let me put it that way. And I'm like, what are you doing? This is Hallmark. You're supposed to be a family situation. I don't want my grandkids sitting there seeing somebody trying to sell them something they're never going to wear, unless they're a girl. But these thought patterns, these things can go in, and they can dumb you down to where, you know what? It's okay. It desensitizes to the place to where we start judging what sin is. Well, that's not that bad. Well, where does it stop? Does it stop whenever we get before Yeshua and we find out that our name's not written in the book of life? Is that where it's going to stop? It better stop before that day. Amen? Yes, Miss Jean?
You know, I wanted to say something. Since I've been here, because of your preaching and the things that you show as examples, I've seen a great amount of people begin to speak out, begin to understand, and more than that, are willing to stand up here and share. So your teaching and your preaching and whatever goes on here is drawing out and gifting people and bringing them to the place where they can be very fruitful.
Amen. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Really and truly, I do appreciate everybody. And it is about really teaching, and it's bringing us to the place. I appreciate you guys' testimony and standing up and sharing, because that gives me hope that things are happening in your families every week, and that, you know, for you to sit here and say, Jonathan, I'm just dealing with this, you dealing with this, and then all of a sudden we're ministering on this. It's really awesome to hear that from the people, to see what's going on. So anyway, the challenge for us is really, what are we thinking? What are we doing more of in every day? Let's just put it that way. Are we really meditating? We need to have an excellent spirit. But guys, we keep saying this, and I keep doing it over and over and over and over again for one reason. When you're faced with a life decision, if you have to think about it, you're going to be a train wreck, like he said. And that's what happens in people's lives. But if our mind understands, whenever we have something that hits us hard, can we trust that the Father's going to, he's got this, that the Father knows what he's doing, even though we don't, and even though we don't like the outcome, but the Father's got this, and he knows what's going to happen? Because in the end, when you know it's that way, love, joy, and peace, and a good life can come from this. Like with Daniel, it said that he ended up with a prosperous life. But prosperity comes from obedience. That's the only way it can come. It can't come from outsmarting the stock market. That ain't going to work. Amen?